This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another cinematic episode of the Doxcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the protagonist, Rich Early. Rich, how are you doing today?
I'm really good. It's interesting. We're sitting here. It's New Year's Day.
Yes.
And we have been spending a lot of time today prepping for the new year of Paradox programming. I mean, this is a comprehensive change underway. So
yeah, things are actually happening.
I'm
very excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, things happen when they need to happen. It takes time and the right motivation, even when the ideas are floating. And I think sometimes it just takes a while for the ideas to percolate, and actually get to that point, where it's like, I actually want to do this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's funny because, sometimes it takes a while for there to be a consensus of when to move forward.
Yep.
Because, we've been working, off and on bits and pieces here and there on, like, the tabletop stream. And I'm not trying to sound boastful or anything like that, but a lot of it's been me pushing it. Mm-hmm. And John has been adding to it, and then just suddenly he really got a fire lit under him, and that was the impetus to help me to do more as well. And Paul's joined in more, so it's like everybody's suddenly just really on the same page, and it's been great.
Yeah, on my end, on the comic side of things, I've been watching what other retailers are doing and how they're going about things, and I've been thinking a lot about the problems Paradox faces and things like that, and just not wanting to focus on the problems, but focus on the solutions. And I think for me, that's the major change personally, is I spent 2 or 3 years sort of just feeling defeated by all the things going on, and my life's changed a lot, and I just don't have time for that anymore. So I just want to solve problems. So if you're listening to this, by the way, this is the first this is the first podcast of the new year. It will be airing on hitting
Monday
the airwaves
7th.
On Monday the 7th. The Doxcast appears every Monday morning with a range of topics. From comics, games, all sorts of movies, mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff. If you want to follow us on our website, it's www.paradoxcnc.com, which, by the way, the website is undergoing the biggest overhaul in its history. We're paying an actual professional human being to make a professional. And that's not to say that... Wow, I just criticized the other people who made our website, didn't I?
Live on stream.
So our website, I really liked our website, and it was really good work. My point is that it was always, made or designed by people who did other things full time,
right?
I'm having it designed by a website designer. That's all I mean by what I was trying to say.
That's all right. Hopefully, we've known you well enough to give you the benefit of the doubt on that.
Yeah. You can follow us on Twitch. Facebook, Twitter, pretty much search for Paradox CNC, PARADOXCNC, in some of those platforms, and you'll probably find us.
Yeah, so. There's a good chance. We should also mention real quick, since we're talking about all these changes and things before we get into the actual podcast, if you're watching us live, or if you happen to tune in and see the video on Facebook or Twitch later, you'll notice that we have this beautiful table topper on our table right now. Courtesy of Game Toppers,
Kevin Burghardt's My Ears company out of Fergus Falls, Minnesota, it turns out, are neighbors. He's friends with Lance Meister, the Undead Viking. His son, Josiah, actually won Star Wars Armada World Championships from FFG a few years back and sat in this very room and did the main podcast that he did about winning worlds. Mm-hmm. We talked strategy, we talked, like deep Star Wars Armada game planning, the whole bit right here in this room. It was awesome. So
yeah, so that's just another one of these awesome changes that we've been working on, and beautiful tabletop. I'm really excited to use this
when
we stream. And
there's more cool additions coming. We're going to get dice towers. There is an accessory that you can add on for DM screens on one end or the other, like things like that. So, but we got the tables and the drink holders. That's not the only thing. If you're watching visually, actually, even if you're listening, this might be very interesting to you. We've added a whole bunch of cameras and new things to make the whole experience better and better and better. New microphones.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm like, what's the word I'm looking
beautiful
for?
Beautiful audio that you just heard. So. If you want to check out some of the stuff we're doing, our most recent tabletop broadcast, we did it back towards the beginning of December, and we've kind of taken the holidays off to so that we could regroup and come in hard and fresh starting this Thursday, so 2 days from now. But you can see we played Gloomhaven, and we have cameras set up so that you can see, when it's my turn, you'll see the cards I'm playing, and you can actually read them. So if you know anything about Gloomhaven, it helps you because you can follow along that way. And if you don't, then you can follow along as well and get a really good idea of what's happening. And overall, I'm really pleased with it. We've gotten some good feedback, and I'm really excited to keep digging in and refining what we have and the experience that we can offer people. So, all right, so all of that out of the way here, let's get into what we're talking about today, Rich. Do you want to tell the world, or shall I?
Oh, no, you tell the world. For some reason, my Facebook froze, and I'm just trying to fix it, so go for it.
Well, it's better than your face freezing, which can happen.
It kind of is in this room, but
put on the heater. It's not bad. Anyway, what we're talking about today on the podcast is we're going to talk about movies. Now, we've done some movie reviews and movie discussions on the podcast before. Certainly, you'll remember our very spirited discussion of The Last Jedi, various other movies as well. I believe our Spider-Man Homecoming episode was marred by echoing audio that we've since figured out. But we've talked about movies before, and we didn't want to come in today and just simply talk about some of the holiday movies we've seen, although we will discuss some of that. But we also wanted to discuss what it is about movies that we like, what brings us to the theater, and how that maybe has changed over the years. And so we as nerds, what draws us to the cinema? And so if anybody, of course, is watching us live, we'd love to have some feedback from you. Feel free to comment on Twitch or on the Facebook feed. And we will definitely have some time to bring in some of those comments as well. Matt Jensen says the Game Toppers are sweet, and thanks for the copy of Spirit Island that he purchased. Thank you for buying Spirit Island.
That is
the best game. That's my favorite game. I love it. You've probably heard that before on the podcast.
You know, and if you liked a couple of teasers along the lines of what you were saying too, but we have, and we'll be doing a podcast about this. But I mean, this is the beginning. This is just a taste of the Paradox revamp. So we just celebrated 25 years of Paradox, right? And what do you do after the 25th issue of your thing? As we've said this before on the podcast, but you do the reboot or the relaunch, or if you're a gamer, you do second edition. you get the errata in there, and you update the rules and all that kind of jazz. So
make all the people who purchased the first edition go, oh, why?
Yep. So, I mean, one of our goals is to connect it all together. Like, we're here to do a lot of good in the world, but we're here to sell stuff. And those two things we think can go hand in hand, right? We're not here to tell you to shop from us because we're a local store. We're here to tell you to shop from us because we're part of a big community of people who like to do things for the right reasons. You know, we're here to be part of a big charity movement. We're here to just be the good guys, and we want you to come along and be the good guys with us. And we're here to bring the ideas that we've had floating for years together to do all that, you know. I'm really excited about the year. When we do stuff like these podcasts and the streams, you know, what we're looking to do is we're looking to connect it for you, you know, make it easier for you to make a purchase from us. We're going to have a way you can just purchase online. That's part of the new website. That's part of all the new streaming stuff, things like that, you know. So it's just a total revamp, including a big remodel that we'll be kicking off, I hope, tomorrow in the store. So very excited about getting the show on the road. So
excellent. All right. So,
movie time. Oh, last thing about that podcast too. We will be continuing to work on not only improving the appearance, the sound, everything involved with it, but more and more and more guests. Yes. And we had a ton of guests last year. If you made a list of who we had, it was actually really impressive. You know, Donnie Cates is the hottest comic writer on the planet, and we had him. And Isaac something created
Childress
created Gloomhaven. You know, I mean,
and
we
Marcel, who's still in the chat with us, by the way.
Yep. I mean,
I'm not
going
to try to pronounce your last name.
So we had the designers of the biggest game in the world, right? And we had the writer, the biggest comic writer in the world. That was right here, and I don't think as many people know that as real as should know that. You know what? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something we need to really make clear to people is what you get when you tune in here. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, and sometimes though we like to just sit down and BS. So,
Swiatechka.
What?
I just tried it again. You spelled it out for me.
Oh, nice.
Swiatechka.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
I'll never again.
Nope.
That's
nope.
I should be better at it. I know enough Scandinavian names that I should be able to port some of that knowledge over. But that's all right. Well, we love you. I hope I haven't offended you terribly. If not, stick around. I'm sure I will.
Josh, as you just said, you know, we just came off of some holidays, right?
Yes, we did.
And we're here to talk about movies, and it isn't that we're going to necessarily just talk about Christmas movies, but, you know, every year there's two big movie seasons now. There's the summer, but then there's that window between, like, right before Thanksgiving through Christmas, where that seems to be the place, too, where people drop all these big movies on our heads.
Right.
And in the month of December, this year we got a ton of stuff, at least one of which was kind of a surprise. But, everybody knew Aquaman, you know, was on the horizon.
Right.
And it still cracks me up that there's an Aquaman movie from Entourage. Did you ever watch Entourage on HBO?
No, I never did.
So one of the you know what that show is about? It's about a guy who became a Hollywood movie star. He's just a good-looking young guy from, I don't remember, he's from the Midwest, and his crew that comes along with him to Hollywood. And so they would interact with, you know, real actors and real, you know, famous people all in that guys that it was like, whoa, being overwhelmed by the big lights of Hollywood or being taken up by the fame of it, right? Well, one of the things in that show is he gets hired to be the star of an Aquaman movie directed by James Cameron. And, like, it's a joke, right? Because the idea is there would never be an Aquaman. Who would ever make an Aquaman movie because the character is a joke? But there it's a blockbuster, you know, fictional blockbuster. And now there's really an Aquaman movie.
Yeah.
So. That's pretty cool.
That's really funny.
So, but you know, when you think back at your holidays, I mean, one of the things that one of the oddest things that ties holidays together is really the fact that TNT runs A Christmas Story for like 72 straight hours, you know, or whatever it is. I mean, how many times has your family seen parts of that movie?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. We have watched that many, many times over. Before they started doing that continual showing of the movie, we would watch it a couple of times on VHS over a holiday. You know, it'd just pop it in, and then sometime later during the break, it'd be like, let's put it in again, you know. So I think that I'm guessing a number of people did that, and so they kind of said, well, you know, if other people are doing that anyway, let's just play it on our station all Christmas long.
It's better than It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, NBC has that, so they couldn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember, I mean, I'm so old, I saw A Christmas Story in the theater when it came out.
You know? Wow.
We went for a birthday party. I think we went to, it was the old Westacres Theater before the remodel. You know, this is back because it came out in the 80s, I think. It must be early 80s, something like that.
I think so.
And I definitely, you know, I just, you know, I at least have a memory of that. It's either I've made up that memory or that's pretty accurate. So, but I mean, that's just a, you know, so movies are, as much as we're nerds and we love games and comics, you know, movies and TV are as much a part of our nerddom as everything else, right?
So, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So did you take the family to a Christmas movie this year?
I did. We've actually hemmed and hawed about going to several. There are a number that I want to see, but we just haven't had time to make it out to a lot. So over the break here, we did actually go and see Mary Poppins Returns, which is fantastic. I mean, I was, you know, I wouldn't say surprised. I got more or less what I was expecting out of it, except the fine attention to detail and how they made it really feel like the previous movie without retreading the previous movie. So, you know, like, that was what I was thinking going in, is that they were going to do some of the same songs. We get another version of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you know, and they would do this. You know, it's like when Mike Myers makes a sequel to something, it's the same movie, they just change a couple of the lines, basically, you know, not to totally rag on Mike Myers movies, but I was expecting more or less that. And you know, there are certain beats in there where it's like, okay, there's a 2D animated segment, you know, like there was in the original. But the fact that they paid so much attention to the detail and they really pushed to make it feel like the movie could have been made, like, right after Mary Poppins. You know, like, it felt like that. There were a lot of practical effects. There were a lot of the way they made it look, and you know, just the feeling of the shots and the transitions and all that stuff, and that was fantastic. It was something new but very familiar, which, when you're making a sequel to a beloved classic like that, you're treading a lot of lines. I mean, like, you could easily go one way or the other into just really bad territory and, you know, anger a lot of people. I haven't read any reviews. I haven't seen any other reactions. So maybe there are a lot of people who are very upset about it. But from my point of view, and from watching it and enjoying the original, and not being a mega fan, but being a fan, I guess, I was really pleased. And it was a fun movie. I don't even know how long it was, but it didn't feel long, you know. It felt like an appropriate length. I was really happy. All the performances were great. The music was really fun and memorable, and that was really nice. I was expecting a lot more, like, computer animation and stuff like that, like they were going to update things, but they didn't. And so I was really happy, and my family had a really fun time. So, yeah, if you need a movie to see, especially with a family, it doesn't have to be, because I think anybody could enjoy it, but I would recommend it, definitely.
I have a couple questions about it. I haven't gotten to see it. I'd really like to. So, I didn't know Dick Van Dyke was still alive, but apparently he is. So, but my questions are, this is obviously very anecdotal, but, like, the audience when you went, well, you know, was it parents and kids? Was it older people? Who's going to the movie is what I'm curious about.
Well, when we went, there weren't a lot of people in the theater, and it looked like there were a lot more older couples that were there, from what I noticed. I wasn't, you know, paying a ton of attention, but that's who I saw when we were going in, people buying tickets and things like that. I'm hoping and expecting that other times, like when the movie first came out, you know, and stuff like that, maybe there were more families and stuff. But I guess I really don't know.
No, I was just curious. It's a property. Yeah. I mean, it's a well-known property. I'm just curious who they. Well, and then the other thing is, a lot of times they do these things and they kind of call them, like, soft reboots.
Sure.
I mean, would you put it in that category at all? Like, could they do more now? Is it, you know?
No, it's a full-on sequel. It follows the two children from the first one are grown up. And basically Mary Poppins comes back to help them at a pivotal time in their lives, especially the son. It's him and his children. So, yeah, I mean, it's a full-on sequel. They didn't reboot it. They're not rewriting the history of it. But they also don't fall back on it too much, right? Like, it's not just like, hey, you remember, you liked this in the first movie, right? Well, we put it in the second one for you. I mean, it felt like it was, you know, with appropriate nods to the original, but it felt like it was a new movie and a true sequel.
Sure. And then, you know, you've got children. It sounded like you had to select a movie to go to together, and mm-hmm. I'm curious what went into that one. You know, what mm-hmm. I don't mean that as though you shouldn't have gone to it. I want to see it and haven't gotten right. to. So,
right.
But just, you know, how did you guys decide, well, this is what we're going to go see?
Well, it was kind of a process, a democratic process for that one. Because I know, like, my daughter especially, both my kids really enjoyed Harry Potter. But my daughter is much bigger of a fan. And so she and I especially... wanted to go see Fantastic Beasts. We still haven't seen that, the sequel.
Yep, me neither.
To that. But my son wasn't as excited about it. I'm not sure exactly where my wife stands. I think she'd enjoy seeing it, but she's maybe not, like, super amped up. Whereas she is a much bigger fan of, like, those old Disney movies, Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Mary Poppins and all that kind of stuff. So I know she was really excited to see this one. I think my son was more excited to see this one than anything else that was out there. And so all of us wanted to see it, and, you know, the big driving excitement was more aimed at that one than it was at anything else that was out there.
Sure.
You know, it's like we wouldn't mind going and seeing The Grinch. I don't think any of us are really super excited about Aquaman. It's maybe very good. I haven't really heard or seen anything about it, but, you know, so that one was out. I'm trying to think of what else there is. Spider-Verse, I'd like to see that one. I'm not sure if my kids even really know it exists, if they'd be interested, but very possibly. But yeah, that's just kind of how that came about. Is we're just like, all right, well, here are some of the movies we want to see. What one do we want to see the most? And Mary Poppins Returns got the most votes. And certainly something very upbeat is nice, you know. Around the holiday season, you know, getting through, like, the stress of Christmas and all that stuff that you deal with. Not that we didn't have a lovely Christmas, because we did, but certainly just something that was light and happy and, you know, not including Dark Wizards, I guess, was more palatable.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And you know, like, part of the question that I was trying to set up a little bit too is when we were talking about doing a bit of a movie podcast about the Christmas releases and whatever, one of the things I was thinking about was what makes me interested in the movies I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, I guess it's sort of a question about nostalgia, you know, about what got you into movies when you were a kid? You know, how did you get fired up? And then, of course, there's that dynamic of, like, once you have a family, you know, sort of satisfying everybody's interests.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, sometimes, obviously, somebody's probably got to sacrifice. There's usually going to be the parents.
right.
But, you know, at the same time, if you can find something everybody in the movie, like you sort of said, you know, like, Fantastic Beasts, a couple of you wanted to go, one didn't, you know, things like that, right? So, like, finding that sweet spot. And that must be interesting if you're a movie publisher. That's not the right word. But, you know, like a movie maker is to think about who is going to come see this movie, why, how does that, how, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Everybody knows, you know, Star Wars Episode 9 is going to make $1 billion+. We all get that, right? But, like, so that's not a lot of math there. But the math on the rest of it is really interesting. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, and it's one of those things now with as expensive as movies are to see, it's very hard for us to go as a family. You know, there's $5 movie nights on Tuesdays, and that's great, but usually Tuesday nights the kids have some kind of activity or sport or something, so it's very hard for all of us to go on a Tuesday night as well.
Sure.
I had some gift cards from my birthday in November, so that made it a lot easier for us to go. And going to a matinee, of course, as we did, was good there. But yeah, I mean, we really have to pick and choose right now what movie experiences we want to have. And some of that, of course, is, well, you know, will we miss anything if we see this on the small screen in several months when it comes out, or a month, you know, however fast it turns around. We get it on DVD or on demand or whatever. And I know, like, you know, like Fantastic Beasts, I'd really like to see that in the theater because that's big and grand and got a lot of action and visuals and things like that. But to that degree also, Mary Poppins, I mean, it's that beautiful 2D animation you just don't see anymore. Nobody does that. It's all computer animated, which is fine. It's its own thing, and I'm not going to start that whole debate here. I'm certainly fine with computer animation. But I really miss, because I grew up with that beautiful Disney animation, you know? Mm-hmm. And just the set pieces and the attention to detail that's put into all of those. You know, and you can say that about any movie, I'm sure, but for me, like, seeing that big and bold and again, it's really nice to have something uplifting at this particular juncture in my life and having that be a big experience.
So something you want to tell us? No, I'm kidding. I totally understand. You know, so
yeah, a lot of that stuff goes into play when we're trying to decide what to see, and are we all going to see it? Is it going to be two of us go? Mm-hmm. You know, so because yeah, Fantastic Beasts, it might be that my daughter and I go and see that if no one else is really interested.
Well, that's the thing with, you know, like Aquaman has got gigantic set pieces and battles and mm-hmm. things like that. And James Wan does a very good job directing action in the movie and a lot of those big set pieces. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's become sort of the minimum expectation for the superhero blockbuster. Is to have that stuff in it. And this is not really a criticism of Aquaman, more just, it becomes, I remember, especially with like Avengers Age of Ultron was the first time I really felt like it had just become noise to me. It was just, well, this is the same blowing up a building I've seen. It's like there's, you can tell that there's a certain set of programs that they must buy or reuse for the same sort of effects. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you're like,
we need a bunch of swarming minions. Let's mm-hmm. just paste this skin on them and move that over. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels a little rinse repeat. Not always. Sometimes it feels really fresh. Black Panther is a good example of that. And I think Aquaman did a lot of stuff really well. It looks really good, and it has a lot of really good action scenes in it. It did a lot of stuff not so well, but but if you remember, and people have watched this show, you know, I've been the guy who's usually really harsh on stuff, but I really am. There was a moment in our Last Jedi discussion where we were talking about this scene where Holdo, you know, hyperspace jumps into the Star Destroyer, and a lot of what people said, I think Steve DeCraig chimed in and said this, but it looked really cool, and it really did sort of hit me. It's like, yeah, it did look really cool, you know.
You could hear a pin drop in the theater when that happened.
Yeah, you know, and I thought, I mean, that's something I don't give enough credit to movies to, and why we go, and even what you're saying about Mary Poppins, you know, like, Jen and V and I will go to movies, and, you know, Jen, she really enjoys the movie theater experience, and she's very open to enjoy the movie in a way that I've let myself be closed to. And I used to think I was right and everybody else was wrong, and I've really come to, there's different ways to go at a movie, you know, and none of them are right or wrong. There's that emotional, just let yourself be submerged in the movie, Aquaman pun intended, I guess, and I get that in a way that I didn't used to, you know. I don't know what the tangent there was exactly, but sort of the big screen uplifting experience, I guess.
Well, so. And that's something that has been a big contested part of the movie experience for years now, because people are building their own home theaters. You know, they have projection screens and surround sound, and, you know, they'll even get their own popcorn machine and stuff and stadium seating, and, you know, they'll build a little theater inside their house. And not everyone can do that, obviously.
Hey, now I just know.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
You know, but so the movie theater has for many years, and you know, I actually went to college and studied film. You can see where that got me exactly. But that's been a big thing, was, you know, the movie theater, like, you had movies, and then television came out, and so they made CinemaScope and widescreen and created various color processing and things to combat Well, yeah, you can watch things on your tiny little TV screen at home, but look what you have in the movie theater. And then TVs got bigger and in color and better quality, and so movies had to up, you know, here we have THX sound now, and we have surround sound, and, you know, all of these different things have been developed. Some people, I'm sure, are developing them to just make the best film experience they possibly can, but a lot of it's also being pushed by the fact that the movie industry needs to put people in those seats to be able to pay to make the movies themselves. And so now we've got sound that actually, you know, you sit in reclining chairs that are very comfortable, but that also have, like, the sound goes through the chairs, and so things vibrate, and you can feel the sound. And we're getting wraparound screens, and, you know, all of these things are being developed to create that theatrical experience and make you want to go see a movie in the theater. And because they're also running into some of the same problems we've had with, like, tabletop nights, where people just go, well, yeah, but I can just watch it at home with my friends instead of going out in the world and being around people. So why would I want to do that? Well, you know, here are the reasons to go and do that, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, we went to, I mean, this weekend I saw three movies, two in the theater and one at home. So we went to Aquaman, as I probably made clear by now.
Yes.
But then we went to Enter the Spider-Verse or Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse,
or,
I think, yeah.
And I remember when that thing started and I was just basically like, I don't know, I don't care. I don't know, you know, it just didn't strike me as, I wasn't excited about it, I don't really know why. Part of it was as a comic retailer, the Spider-Verse event was a couple of years ago in the comics, mm-hmm. and I didn't get into it, I didn't really care about it, you know, I didn't read it, you know what I mean? Yeah. I just like, and so I thought it was odd that was a movie they were trying to do, and the thing about it, I don't really like the stuff where I've always said if and when I get around to writing science fiction, I don't want to do alternate universes. I don't want to do time travel. I don't want to do clones. You know, and Spider-Verse sort of falls into that. It's like all these different versions of Spider-Man are going to meet each other. You know,
yeah.
They're all cool. There's a lot of really cool incarnations or variations on Spider-Man. I'm just not really ever into that or whatever. But then everybody started going, you know, you start reading these things, like the New York film critics say it's the best movie of the year, you know, and so on and so forth. And so you're like, well, that's interesting. And then you start watching your Facebook feed and everybody you know is going, dude, you got to go see this movie. It's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, by the time we got to go, as a Christmas present, I gave my future brother-in-law and future nephew a double feature movie day this past Saturday. So I'll take mm-hmm. you guys, we'll all go to the movies, and I'll take us out for burgers in between, you know. So we started Spider-Verse at like noon, went to Sickies for burgers, and went to Aquaman afterwards. Pretty much ended up being the whole family actually going to that. But going into Spider-Verse, I thought, this movie has been so hyped to me.
Right.
I have no idea if I'm actually going to be able to enjoy it or not, because my expectations are, you know, higher than the ceiling in this room, you know, at this point. But much like how this is a different movie, but when I went to see the Lego Batman movie, mm-hmm. I was just blown away by the Lego Batman movie. And I don't know why. It hit all the right buttons
right.
for me. Absolutely. I wasn't really expecting it. I didn't really know what I was going to. But from the very beginning, when he talks about his 8-pack abs or whatever, you
yeah.
know, or his 7th, whatever it was, you know, and just on, you know, and it just that movie just did everything right to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt about Spider-Verse. I thought, that movie does everything right. It has a huge heart. It tells Miles Morales' story. If you don't know who Miles Morales is yet, you will absolutely know by the end. So it honors Peter Parker, but also introduces Miles and Gwen and other characters. Those are the main two. I mean, we see several others, from Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham,
mm-hmm.
to Spider-Man Noir, all sorts of different ones. But, man, the story that Miles... the heart of that story is just amazing. And the other thing it does, it tackles how to do origins well. We talk about this all the time. I don't need another origin movie, you know. Mm-hmm. It sort of makes fun of origins. It opens with this little sequence by Peter Parker where it's like, okay, one last time. I got bit by a spider. I've been the hero of the city for all these years. I fought the Green Goblin, blah, blah, blah. Like, just this, for, nice. And it's hilarious, right? Well, but then they kind of repeat that all throughout the movie as you meet the other spider people. And so, so you get these quickie origin versions, and I love that they all start with the, all right, one last time, you know, and... It's hilarious. It's funny. It acknowledges the problem while also introducing the character, and then just tells this phenomenal story that you would not expect. You know, you go see these things and you think to yourself, I'm not expecting Oscar-winning material from the movie that I'm at right now. And then when you get it, you're sort of like, wow, okay, you know. And those are some of the best experiences you can have, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So... I loved Spider-Verse, is the point.
Yeah, I've heard so many good things. I have to put that on my list of ones that I'd like to go see because it's such a surprise.
And you might be thinking, like, I'm really not, you know, like, I like Spider-Man, but it's sort of an animated Spider-Man movie, but it's called Into the Spider-Verse. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's odd. It doesn't feel right in a lot of ways, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's something, you know, I think a lot of people... would say they felt a similar way about, like, the Venom movie. It's like, okay, we've got Spider-Man, he's part of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. I go to see that movie, I know it's going to tie in with all this other stuff that I've already been invested in. And then there's, like, Venom, and it's like, but Spider-Man's not in it, why would I go see it? You know, and apparently a lot of people did anyway. But I think Spider-Verse is a similar sort of thing, where it's like, well, this isn't tied in to all these other movies that I've been watching and, you know... like I said, investing in, and it also just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm sure there were plenty of people who knew about it beforehand and following it, and maybe they were excited, and, you know, you get, like, all... But with any other superhero movie, you tend to get, oh, here are the spoilers. Oh, did you find out who the main villain is? And let's speculate on so-and-so is playing this character, and that sort of thing. And this was just kind of like, oh, there's an animated Spider-Man movie. Oh, it's going to theaters?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's weird.
That's true. You know, there's been so much Spider-Man on TV, an animated Spider-Man on TV, or it almost felt like it would be a direct-to-video or a Netflix movie or something, you know, and direct-to-video. Oh, my God. but you get the idea, you know, and it absolutely will defy your expectations on how good it is and all the things that it does right. Another thing it does well, we've complained many times about how the, like, Spider-Man 3, the original Tobey Maguire one, had too many villains in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
This movie has a ton of villains in it. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It absolutely knocked them out of the park. You know, nice. they fight the Lizard. They fight a new female version of Dr. Octopus. They fight the Prowler, the Kingpin, Tombstone.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what? They don't have to... Not everybody who ever appears on the screen has to have an hour and a half backstory in order for the final battle to matter, you know, like,
right.
Sometimes you just know who the Lizard is, or sometimes the Prowler is just a guy with a cool suit and powers that Spider-Man has to fight,
right?
And that's enough. And this movie does all of that absolutely spot on. So, it's very good.
Nice.
So,
all right. So far, Mary Poppins Returns, Into the Spider-Verse, both thumbs up.
Yep. So, I mean, and why did, like, when I think about why did I pick that one, it's kind of funny because I know that my 13-year-old future nephew wanted to see Bumblebee more than Spider-Verse, I'm sure. But I was kind of selfish and picked Spider-Verse. So,
if you're buying the tickets.
I guess I'm the adult, so I got to make that decision. But sorry, Will. So, no, he really liked it, you know. But, that's the other two. I mean, Aquaman and then Bumblebee. I guess I guess I'll thumbs up Aquaman echo what most people. It's a flawed movie. It does feel like two or three movies in one. I think it actually. Remember the Hobbit movies where we felt like they stretched a 150-page book into ridiculously too long? It's
right.
Like Aquaman's like the opposite. It's like it could have actually been a two or three movie. trilogy.
Sure.
And probably would have been pretty awesome, and we would have really cared by the third movie. But instead, they took three movies worth of story and crammed them into one movie, and it doesn't end up getting to be everything that it wants to be. I thought Jason, I can't even say
Momoa.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. What I like about him and that version of Aquaman is everybody else is saying all this epic stuff and trying to, you know, sound all important, and he just doesn't care. You know, he's just like, yeah, stick it in your ear, you know, and things like that, where it's just like, he's just, I like it. I like that he's just a dude who doesn't have time for that, you know, for all the fancy talk, you know, so, and I thought it worked really well. He was, you know, charming and good, you know, as the character. It's not, you know, a lot of things went right in that movie. It's just was, to me, it was too much to actually make work in the thing, you know. So
right.
I don't know,
but a step in a better direction than a lot of the other DC movies is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, really, it's just a slightly better version of Justice League, you know, because it's ultimately like a big fight movie, that's another thing that Aquaman does sort of weird is like, its action is really good, but there's just so much of it that there's a certain point right towards the end, they have like the 15th giant battle going on, and you're just sort of like, yeah, this is cool, but I kind of want to go home now, you know? So I'd say Wonder Woman, I liked Wonder Woman more, ultimately. You know, is it better than Batman v Superman? Well, everything is better than Batman v Superman. So, you know, if you put a gun to my head and make me choose between Last Jedi and Batman v Superman, oh boy!
Let's not dive into that.
No,
we're probably getting close to time as it is.
Yeah. So, and then the last one from this season was Bumblebee, which neither one of us has seen, but we talked to Darren quite a bit about it before the show.
Yeah, and he's a Transformers fan.
Yep, it sounds like from all my Transformers fans, what I'm hearing is that it sounds like it's pretty much their favorite one so far. Is that what you're hearing from people?
That's a lot of what I'm hearing. I honestly don't know if I know anybody who's seen it, but
any of
the reviews and things that I've seen online is saying it's the best Transformers movie, that it feels like the Transformers movie that people want to see.
Yeah.
As opposed to what we got with all the other ones.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm harder on those than is probably necessary. Going back to the whole, like, you know, I was never a big fan, so I was really harsh on them, but at the end of the day, they are a giant blockbustery experience, and if you like big robots and watching them fight each other, it's probably good. You know, it was never what I wanted, and on top of not being what I wanted, I didn't think they were very good.
Right.
And that's the thing that I always, I mean, especially that I always make the argument, it's like, I understand liking it, and I understand riding the emotion of it, but then I remember, and this is the nostalgia part, right? I remember seeing Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? Or I remember seeing Die Hard, and I know that these movies can be better than they are.
Yeah,
that's the part that frustrates me, and I think gets me riled up a lot. Is we know what can be done, and yet we as audiences keep settling for less than that. And that really frustrates me as a moviegoer.
Well, yeah, and that's... I'm right there with you. There are so many movies where it's like, oh, it's just a popcorn movie. You just go in and turn your brain off. And it's like, I'm cool with that. I can go and watch a movie. There's just a lot of actions, big explosions, giant robots punching each other. But when the filmmakers try to shoehorn in all of this other stuff, like, oh, we're so clever. Look at how we're making all these weird plot lines that don't fit in. Oh, that drives me bonkers. Because, and especially now, like, you look at all of the superhero movies we have. Yeah, there are some clunkers. There are some that are not as good as others. But you can have something like Infinity War. You can have something like even Civil War, where there's a bunch of characters, and somehow they give them all the right amount of attention so that they feel developed. You can have a ton of action, but you still have it all be cohesive, and there be an actual plot to follow. You know, you can have it all. You can literally have it all now. And it's been proven. Like, there are probably plenty of good movies we could go back to and say, well, we knew that before. But, you know, now, even if it's a big cinematic blockbuster, you don't have to say, well, it's going to be stupid because there's a bunch of explosions and stuff.
Yes. Yep.
It doesn't have to be. It can have real character development. I mean, for goodness sake, look at the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Those are so good, and there's so much beautiful character development and just attention to detail and everything in there that, you know, why would we settle? Why would we settle for an Avatar now?
Yeah, I don't know why we would. I mean, but, and, well... I do know why we would, right? Because it's not our responsibility, you know. Like I'm the last thing I want to do is put the blame on us as an audience for the bad movies we get.
Well, but it's true. If people keep going to see it, they're going to keep spitting them out, you know. Mm-hmm. And part of that is you don't know until you see it and whatever. But
yep, there's a symbiosis to the whole thing for sure. You know, where does it? Is it us that aren't demanding enough, or is it them not giving us enough? It's a little of A and it's a little of B. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I just, you know, your Guardians is a good example. You know, that movie, the first one, we know what we could get. So why are we okay with when we don't get it, you know?
Well, and not everything can be at the highest level, of course. No. But there's a certain point at which you go, all right, here's like a baseline. Yeah. If it's below this, then you are not trying.
You know,
if it's below this, then there's a bunch of people who have absolutely no idea how things work, putting their hands in the pot and messing it up.
Yep.
And we just, there's no need for that now. Like, gone should be the days where there's these studio executives who are like, I don't know anything about movies, but I know money, and I want money, so I'm going to make movies. And it's like, no, there's no reason. There are so many people who are qualified and creative and capable of making fine art, even if it's people in spandex and, you know, things blowing up. That's...
Or like, think about this, too. It's how Hollywood makes decisions, right? Like, DC makes a bunch of money from the Watchmen movie, and the Batman, the Nolan trilogy, you know, all make $1 billion each and all that kind of stuff, right? So Zack Snyder's on their radar as kind of a hot guy. They're losing Christopher Nolan. They know that Watchmen... And Watchmen did make a lot of money for them, you know?
Yeah.
But so then they tied their DC wagon to him because... It was a bunch of people who didn't know anything about comic books. You know, it's like, why was the Watchmen movie? Why did it make money? You know, things like that. But Watchmen is a whole different animal than the Justice League.
Yeah.
The point of Watchmen is to deconstruct what the Justice League is. So putting the guy in charge of the Justice League who made Watchmen is a weird decision. But they don't understand that, is my guess, right? They're just like, oh, it's one of those comic book movies. I hear they all make $1 billion. You know, so we should make one of those, or a bunch of those, or whatever. And, oh, Marvel has this universe of those. We should have a universe of those. And again, the people who are making those decisions have no idea what they're doing or talking about. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's, you know, what did you guys go out and see over Christmas? Why did you pick it? What did you think of the big ones we've talked about so far? You know, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, pop on, as always, pop on down to Paradox, and I'm sure the staff here would love to talk about movies that they've seen and hear your opinions as well. You know, that's the whole thing about
like doing that. What are you talking about?
And I'm sure that they will point you towards a comic book or something that has something in common with what you liked. Then they can
everything we mentioned except for Mary Poppins, I definitely have a comic book I can point you to. We actually, as far as Spider-Verse too, we just made a shelf out of Miles Morales comics, Gwen Stacy comics, things like that, that are all the characters from that universe. Next, when we finally start doing some restocks after Christmas, we're going to expand that section too. So if you like those characters, they all come right out of the pages of the comic books. I mean, the same with Aquaman. Aquaman's a little tougher. It's sort of hard to have, like, what if somebody came in and said, what's the go-to Aquaman story? I would struggle a little bit with that, you know, like, what, you know, the Geoff Johns New 52 Aquaman number one, I mean, is probably what I would point people to. Or even the current stuff has been, the current stuff, it's like they knew this movie was in development for a while, because starting with issue number one of Rebirth, they actually have been dealing with the politics of Atlantis and Atlantis versus the human world and Black Manta. And I kind of liked it. I dropped out around issue 25, and I think we're up to issue 40-something. But it's been good. It's and Mira is actually the queen of Atlantis, is instead of Arthur Curry and Aquaman being the king of Atlantis. And it's just caused, you know, lots of interesting drama and storytelling. So
nice.
So lots of good stuff. And there are definitely Bumblebee comics.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we've been talking for a good long while. I think we should probably bring it to a full-on close here. So thank you for those of you who are joining us. I was having a nice little side conversation, tangential, with Marcel there, talking about some good movies and things. But as always, we tend to do a block of podcasts in a go. Right now, given the holiday and everything, we needed to get another one done before next week, so we're just doing one for today. We'll hopefully have another block scheduled in the very near future, but we hope that you will come and join us on Twitch or on Facebook when we go live, and that you'll check us out every Monday. We post these on iTunes and on ParadoxCNC.com. So check it out, and as Rich said, throw some comments at us. Find us on ParadoxCNC.com. We're on Facebook, at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram. Find us and send us your opinions. Tell us if there's a good movie you saw this holiday season that you would recommend to others, or if there are any that you saw that you would tell people to stay away from. Feel free to let us know those recommendations as well. Yeah, anything else that we want to discuss or cover before we sign off, Rich?
No, I mean, I was just kind of checking comments and stuff, too. Sorry. So,
oh, no problem.
But, no, I mean, it's going to be an interesting year of movies coming up as well.
Oh, yeah.
Avengers Endgame, I think,
yep.
Was
Captain
the...
Captain Marvel before that.
Yep.
And then Avengers Endgame.
And then sort of capping off the year with what we're... I mean, we're all waiting for Episode 9.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the... And it's going to be quite the thing, you know. Is it going to course correct? Is it gonna keep? You know,
yeah.
Are you gonna feel like it's the Rian Johnson movie part two? Or are you gonna feel like the trilogy is complete or all nine movies? And they got a task on their hands. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So I'm sure we'll have a good episode about that when that comes around, so we can talk about our thoughts and feelings. But yeah, lots of interesting stuff coming up for movies.
I'm hooked on a feeling.
Oh, hooka chaka. But yeah, and lots of interesting stuff coming up for the store as well. So in case you missed that at the beginning, feel free to rewind. We don't want to rehash all of that because that'll take too long. But we are very excited. Coming up in just 2 days from the time of this recording, we will have our tabletop stream. Which will be featuring an RPG that I can never remember the name of. John's going to be leading that. So tune in for that. And every Thursday thereafter, we'll be doing a thing. Second Tuesday of the month will be Gloomhaven. But we've got that and the comic show starting next Tuesday. So Tuesday the 8th will be the very first Paradox comic show. So you can check out comics that are coming out that week and... various other things there.
Yep, reviews of last week, prognostications for next week, and most of all, selling.
Yeah.
your direct ability to buy books, get them added to your list, and all that kind of stuff if you're a subscriber, or you know, find out how to become a subscriber, or find out how to connect to the movies you're seeing. I mean, all kinds of stuff. We got a lot of plans. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, so that should do it for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the DoxCast, and we hope to see you at the store. And, of course, we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was the DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, geek on.